I would ask you now to open your Bibles to John chapter 19. We will be reading from verse 17 through to verse 30. This morning, I would like us to focus specifically on verse 30, the last words of Jesus before he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And we will think of the words that he cried out, "It is finished." So let us begin by reading John chapter 19 from verse 17. And he, that is Jesus, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews'?" But he said, "I am the King of the Jews," Pilate answered. "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, for my clothing they cast lots.'" Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. May the word of the Lord bless us as we consider specifically verse 30 and the last words of Christ, "It is finished." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to worship and adore you, Lord. This day, as we remember and we celebrate Good Friday, remember that time where Christ, your only begotten Son, suffered the cross in order to save his people. We pray, Lord, that we would gain a deeper understanding of all the work of Christ. And Lord, we pray that we would marvel and we would wonder at the cross this day. May we, Lord, know your presence with us, even though we are in our own homes, unable to meet together and face to face. We pray, Lord, that we would know your spirit, we would know your presence, we would know your work in our lives. We pray, Lord, that your word would speak to us and move in us, Lord. And we pray that we would respond to your word. May we look to the cross of Christ, and may we rejoice, and may we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have, Lord, to listen to your word. We pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I record this message for you, we are still in the middle of this global pandemic. We are all having to practice social distancing. Many of us have to force ourselves to stay at home, while some of you are much needed out there fighting the attack of this virus. We are living in very unusual times, a time of difficulty, stress, and anxiety for many. We're hearing about death on a daily basis. Suffering and death has never been and will never be a subject that is easy to talk about. Now, in the midst of this destructive effect this virus is having across the world, we who are Christians have something wonderfully solemn to think about and bring our attentions to. There was a terrible event that happened around 2,000 years ago, for which today we praise and worship the Lord Almighty. We are in the middle of what is called Holy Week, the week before Easter Sunday. In it, we remember that special week separated by God just over 2,000 years ago. The time of Christ was upon him. His hour had come. All of Scripture until then, from Genesis to Malachi, all the prophets until then, from Enoch to John the Baptist, all pointed to this week and to one specific day, to one specific hour, that Friday afternoon. Today, I would like to point us to a few seconds in a specific minute of Christ's last hour. Let us this Good Friday consider the very last words of Christ, just before he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. "It is finished," was his cry just before he died. I believe this moment to be the climax, the pinnacle of that most holy week. This is the moment Christians look back to. This is the moment that those of us who belong to Jesus can point to and say, "This is why I believe in him, and this is why I am forgiven." If someone asks me, "How can you put all your faith, all your hope, and all your life on that man called Jesus?" I can respond by saying, because on the cross he died on, Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." These three words marked the accomplishment of all that Scripture was written about. All that the prophets spoke about and all that the Almighty God had promised. This was the culmination of God's eternal plan of salvation. Now, before we bring our attention to these dying words of Christ, "It is finished," let us consider for a moment the state Jesus was in when he cried out these words. I think it is important for us to realize the magnitude of Christ's suffering at this point. It makes his cry all the more powerful. Christ had been suffering to the uttermost. He suffered emotionally. He had come to his own, but his own did not receive him. He was betrayed by a close friend. His disciples deserted him, and one even denied he knew him. His emotions were breaking him so much so that in the garden his sweat was like great drops of blood. Jesus suffered physically. He was innocent of all crimes. Yet he was accused and treated as the worst of criminals. All insults had been hurled at him. His skull was penetrated with a crown of thorns, his hands and feet pierced straight through. His body on display was naked. It was battered, covered with slashes and blood from head to toe. He suffered spiritually. His own Father in heaven forsook him, because on the cross, Jesus became a curse as he bore the sins of the world. On the cross, at that final hour, he was thirsty and gasping for any ounce of air. At the peak of his suffering, he gathered up the last of his strength and he cried out, "It is finished." Here is a further observation about the magnitude of Christ's suffering. His suffering was not tied to just his manhood. The amount of his suffering was not finite in the sense that it was bearable. Let me put it this way. If Jesus was just a man, his body and soul would have given up perhaps in the early hours of the morning. But because Jesus is God, the suffering he endured as a man was of eternal proportions. No mere man would be able to endure the agony and passion of Christ all the way to the cross. God was suffering. His suffering would be beyond what we can imagine. Just as God is eternal, his suffering would be one of eternal measure. Any lesser suffering would not satisfy the wages incurred by the sins of the world, past, present, and future. Any lesser suffering would not satisfy God's righteous and just anger over sin. Some have asked, how could Jesus in such a short time bear all the suffering equivalent to all the torments of eternity in hell? It is because God, the God of time and space, the God of all eternity, hung on that cross. He would remain on that cross until every penny and every mite was paid to atone for sins and to guarantee the salvation of all his people. And Jesus did it. As he hung all alone between heaven and earth, his pain was excruciating beyond all measure. And in his mount of suffering, in the Everest of agony, Jesus Christ said in all its clarity and in all its power the words, "It is finished." Now, let us bring our attentions to those final words of Christ. Let us consider the power of it. It is finished. We can ask, what is finished? You see, in the last three verses of the passage we read, three times it uses the same word. Or in English, we see synonyms of the same word. The words are accomplished, fulfilled, and finished. In verse 28, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, and that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And then in verse 30, Jesus cried, "It is finished." Earlier I stated that all of Scripture, from Genesis to Malachi, and all the prophets from Enoch to John the Baptist, pointed to Christ and his final hour on the cross. All that God had revealed in his law and through his prophets, all the types and shadows are here in Christ fulfilled, are here in Christ accomplished, are here in Christ finished. All of God's promises of salvation are here in Christ accomplished. It is finished. It amazes me how Christ, at the height of his pain, could recall all of Scripture and one by one mark them all down and say, "This is accomplished in me." Doesn't it say in verse 28, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished? Try asking a woman in the midst of her labor pains to recall the history of her family. She may manage 8 or 9 names and not much more, because the pain would be too much to concentrate her thoughts and actions on the given task. But here, Christ, at the summit of infinite suffering, could look to detail, to every jot and tittle, and with pinpoint accuracy know that all things are now accomplished in him. And with that awareness and certainty, he said, "It is finished." All things were now accomplished. With his final cry, Jesus is declaring all of Scripture concerning him, all the laws, the prophets, and the Psalms. With his cry, "It is finished," Jesus is saying he is the seed of the woman that would bruise the serpent's head. He is the offspring of Abraham, through whom all nations would be blessed. He is the son of David, whose kingdom would be established forever. With those three words, "It is finished," we see the man forsaken by God from Psalm 22. We see the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief from Isaiah 53. We see the Son of Man whom all nations will serve from Daniel 7. With his shout, "It is finished," Jesus assigns to himself all the types of the Old Testament. Of Isaac, Jesus says, "I am the true son of promise, the true provision of God, the true sacrifice." Of Joseph, Jesus says, "I am the brother that is hated. Their condemnation of Christ was meant for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many people alive." Of Job, Jesus says, "I am the righteous one, spotless and blameless, attacked by Satan from every side, bruising my heel." Of Aaron and his descendants, Jesus says, "I am the high priest, the true, the one and only mediator between God and man." When he said, "It is finished," Jesus confirmed all the shadows that points us to him. He is the showbread, the wash basin, the lampstand, the altar, and the mercy seat found in the tabernacle and in the temple at Jerusalem. He is the sacrificial lamb, the scapegoat, the dove dipped in blood. He is the blood that is sprinkled. With that cry, "It is finished," Jesus sealed all of Scripture with his name. He was saying, "I have accomplished all of these." The Scriptures are so profound. Try setting yourself the task to see Christ in every page of your Bible. But I must warn you, don't set upon this task by your own efforts. If done so, it would be done in vain. Mere intellect and scholarship would not be able to work this out. This is how men find contradictions in the Bible. But to walk and study in Christ and in his Holy Spirit, that is the way to understand Scripture and all its power. You see, we needed Christ to cry, "It is finished." For by those words he explained it all to us, and by it even a child can understand it. And see that Scripture, every page of Scripture speaks of Christ. It is in Christ that we see everything fulfilled. All that God spoke by the prophets of old, in Him we see everything carried out to completion. In Him we see everything summed up. Praise His name, it is finished. Christ fulfilled all of Scripture. In Christ fulfilled all the law. For Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill it. The law is finished in Christ. All the necessities of daily sacrifices and weekly Sabbaths and yearly festivals are all in Jesus finished. If a man or a woman come to you and say, from the Scriptures of old, the law commands we do this and that, rebuke them there. Say, no, Christ has finished it. As Christ is Lord, the law is fulfilled in the heart. With his cry, it is finished. All the law was finished. Not that they were done away with, not that they were broken, but that he and Christ alone has accomplished it. With the words, it is finished, Christ's perfect obedience was now also finished. It was necessary that all the law would be fully kept. Obedience to God is fully needed, for no man can see God except in perfect righteousness. In Christ's obedience, he kept the entire law for his people. Not one jot or tittle of it is broken, for Jesus fulfilled it all. Christ's sinlessness from birth to Calvary's testament of Christ's obedience. He was obedient unto death, even death on the cross. On the cross, Christ's obedience was accomplished. It was so full and complete that his people are now clothed in his righteousness. What more was finished? God's righteous judgment and anger over sin was there on the cross finished. There on the cross, Jesus was drinking the cup of God's wrath. All the sins of his people, their sins he bore. It was there dealt with to the fullest. The cup of God's anger was in all its force poured over Christ. So great are the sins he carried. So great are the sins he bore that it pleased the Lord to crush him. And with the cry, it is finished, God's justice was fully satisfied. Jesus had accomplished what all the fire of hell could not do in all eternity. The price of sin was paid to the fullest. Sin, the destroyer of humanity, was through the cross of Christ finally defeated. The chains of sin was finally loosened. Sin has such a grip on man. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is the poison in humanity's bloodstream. Sin is the leprosy of each man's soul. Sin is the veil that blinds. Sin is all that separates man from the presence of God. And this sin incurs a great price. Death and hell is the debt For the wages of sin is death. But when Jesus cried, "It is finished," the debt that is due was paid in full. On the cross, Christ paid it all. Jesus suffered the pain we deserve. Jesus died the death we deserve. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice. It is by this that we are saved. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant it. We can add nothing to it. Salvation is found solely at the cross. It is faith in the life and work of Christ that we are saved. Believe that Christ has accomplished all things. The redemption work is done. The ransom is fully paid. The account of sin is settled. Divine justice is satisfied. The Lamb of God has taken away the sins of the world. There was nothing more on earth that Christ needed to do except to die and rise again. And Jesus did rise again 3 days later. The grave could not hold him. When Christ's people hear the cry, "It is finished," to their ears and to my ears, it is a shout of triumph, a shout of victory. At that moment, sin was defeated, death was defeated, but so was Satan. Satan's head was finally crushed. Satan may have bruised Christ's heel, tempting Christ at all points, firing all the darts and arrows he could afford, deceiving many to reject Christ, and thinking that Christ had finally lost to him as Jesus hung on the cross. Jesus' victory shout, "It is finished," stunned that old serpent. Christ's pierced hands, feet, and side just remain as wounds of war, scars that declare his great victory. Heaven and earth heard Jesus say, "It is finished." Death was defeated, for with that shout, death was swallowed up in victory. Graves were opened, saints were raised. And even today, Christ stands with the keys of death, waiting for that appointed time of his return, where all of Christ's saints will be raised in glorious apparel. It is finished. Sadly, time constrains me, even though there's more to be said. But let this discourse cause you to wonder and rejoice. Praise to the Father in heaven, honored by the passion of his Son. The Father's love, mercy, and grace, all the more magnified at the dying cry of his Son. Almighty Father, it is done, it is finished. Your love can no longer be denied. Your grace can no longer be refuted, perhaps only by fools. All the barriers which were in the Father's way are forever removed. The Father would now bless sinners as a God of love and a God of justice. For when Jesus said, "It is finished," a mighty covenant was sealed. No one can reverse it. It is secure and it is forever. None can annul it. Salvation for all his people is the winning prize of the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. When Christ, now seated at heaven's throne, would look at his people, he would bear the grandest joy in his face. These are the ones he has redeemed. These are the ones he has bought at a price. These are the ones he suffered for to reconcile them to himself. These are the ones he has cleansed with his blood. These are the ones he has clothed in his righteousness. These are the ones to whom and for whom he proclaims, "It is finished." And so, let us bow the knee and look at Christ. Let us fix our eyes upon him. He is the author and finisher of this blessed Christian faith. This is the joy of the cross for the Christian. The Christian could now, in all authority and power, with Christ our captain, shout these words of triumph, "It is finished." If you by faith have clung to Jesus as your all in all, let it be known in your lives that it is finished. When Christ said, "It is finished," Christ is finished with your old lives. He has done away with the old man. A new life begins, one of love and obedience to the Lord, denying oneself, taking up one's cross and following him, bearing Christ's suffering in one's heart and life. Let your obedience to Christ's Lordship be the mark in your life that Jesus accomplished it all for you. Do not for one second think about hiding this glorious truth. Let the light of Christ shine bright through your redeemed lives. Let this good news flow from your heart and mouth to your family, friends, and neighbors, to those who do not know peace, to those who are lost in their own efforts, to those who know not the good news of salvation. Say to them, "It is finished." Repent of your sins, turn away from them. There is no lasting joy in them. Turn to the cross, turn to Christ, believe in him, and you will be saved. It is finished. Every obstacle is removed. Every barrier is lifted. Every gate is opened. All are welcome who enter in through Christ. Praise be to Jesus Christ, our Lord and most glorious Savior. It is finished. Let us pray. O Lord, thank you so much for the cross. Thank you for the cry, "It is finished." Thank you that it has all been accomplished. Thank you that if we turn into Christ in repentance and faith, we are justified. Thank you that it is done. It is fulfilled. Nothing can be added to it. Thank you that we can rest on the work of Christ on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and mercy upon us day by day. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us, Lord, and help us and cause us to cling to the cross for dear life. Amen.